We have a discombobulated show in a way because our radio antenna is down. That means we're not going over the air at this moment. If you're listening to this, it's because you're streaming us. But we have a lot of people that stream us, and I'm going to tell a little bit more about that situation here in just a moment. And we do have a good show for you today because we have with us Heather Upton. She is the new art and historical officer for the city of Sandpoint. Heather, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Chris. I'm so excited to be here today.
And we're going to talk about your new position. Of course, you were with the Bonner County Historical Museum for years, so you come to it with a lot of knowledge about the historical side of Sandpoint, for sure. And we're going to come back to that in just a few minutes. But first, let me dive in on the situation with our broadcast signal, which goes out over the air, and you have to be able to broadcast in order for people to pick it up on the radio. The situation is that we are moving our antenna, and we've had this in play for quite some time because the land where the tower that holds our current antenna is changed hands. And we have secured a new location for our antenna in a lease with the Lake Pend Oreille School District on their tower. However, what we're now waiting for is approval from the FCC to move our antenna. That's required for this permanent move of our antenna to a new location. Somewhat unexpectedly for us, the tower actually was slated to come down yesterday. We had to get our antenna off it yesterday, and therefore we had to go off the air. We are going to get a low-power temporary antenna placed, which we can do under the current FCC rules before we migrate to a permanent location. We hope to have that going by Friday. We can't guarantee that's going to be the case because of the complexities involved. But we are going to be available only by our live stream on our radio. And of course, that's the good news here because a lot of people do stream the station rather than listen to it over the air. And therefore, if you go to our website, krfy.org, and you click on either of the buttons there to live stream our shows, you click on either the browser stream or the player stream buttons to hear us over the internet. And everyone's going to have to do that for the next few days just because of this antenna situation until we get our new temporary antenna in place. And we certainly are frantically trying to get the situation resolved here. So, Heather, I hope your day is going better than ours was going yesterday with this whole thing.
I can easily say yes. That's quite an ordeal you're dealing with right now.
It is, for sure. Okay, I want to tell a few of the things going on around town before we get into our today's interview, starting with the weather. It's gorgeous, sunny summer weather. High today will be 87 degrees. It's going to be clear, and we're going to see a low of 54 tonight. Tomorrow, it's going to be a bit hazy in the morning, according to the National Weather Service. We'll see a high of about 80 degrees, low of 48, so slightly cooler tomorrow. And then Friday, again, it'll slightly cooler, 80 and low of 51. Saturday, high of 84. Sunday, a high of 88. Lows in the 50s. Gorgeous weather all the way through. They were predicting a little bit of rain earlier in the week, but we don't see that now in the National Weather Service forecast. So it's been kind of glorious, actually, the weather has been. As for what's going on around town, of course, the festival at Sandpoint is in its second week, and they actually have a bonus concert this week starting tonight. Usually they don't have a Wednesday concert, but starting tonight, Kaleo is playing at Memorial Field. And tomorrow, Thursday, the Beach Boys play. That one is sold out. Friday, Gregory Alan Isakoff plays, and the opening band there is the Shook Twins, our local hometown heroes. On Saturday, Lindsey Stirling is playing, and that one is also sold out. So, unfortunately, both Beach Boys and Lindsey Stirling concerts are sold out. So, it's kind of a warning. If you're interested in either Gregory Isakoff or Kaleo tonight, you might want to grab those tickets right now because both of those are also very popular. And finally, on Sunday, it wraps up with Family Matinee at 1 p.m., and then at 7:30 p.m., it's the grand finale with Spokane Symphony. So, music galore. Another big event happening this weekend is the Sandpoint Pro Rodeo, and that's August 5th and 6th. It's Friday and Saturday at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. And then there's a ton of other things going on around town. There's live music in a whole bunch of different locations. There's the Farmers Market, of course, which is tonight and on Saturday. So if you want to see what's happening in town, go to our website, krfy.org, and click on the community calendars. Or you can see those on Sampling Online, since they provide the calendars. And with that, let's get into today's talk with Heather Upton, the Art and Historical Preservation Officer for the City of Sandpoint. Heather, again, thanks for being here. I'd like to start out, this is a whole new position for the City of Sandpoint, mm-hmm. and we want to talk about what that entails. But first, tell us about your background, because as I mentioned in the opening there, you were the director of the Bonner County Historical Museum for a number of years. So mm-hmm. tell us, first of all, you know, how did you get into history as a passion for you, and even how did you wind up in Sandpoint?
Oh, I love it. Well, the history angle, that's always been a heartbeat for me. I remember the first time I went antique shopping with my mom at 5, and I found a really beautiful journal from the 1800s, and this individual in the most elegant calligraphy had wrote down her life story. I mean, and then I was hooked. I've always been very comfortable in the world of history. So everything I've done in my life, I tend to kind of gear towards that direction. And then essentially that took me to college at the University of Oregon, majoring in art history, back to, you know, art. And through my experience in Eugene, Oregon, I ended up working for an interior designer and understanding the art of visual merchandising and sales and going to New York and Atlanta and working with top designers. And that really was a beautiful world to be involved in. And it made a huge impact and imprint on me. When I was finishing up college, I met the love of my life, and we married. And I ended up having my career there in Eugene, being a buyer and manager of a specialty boutique. And then my husband and I decided that we wanted kind of a different change of pace. And we, at the time, purchased part of a family business, which is a manufacturing company, and we were looking at this area, and a friend mentioned Sandpoint. We went up on the weekend. As everyone mentions, I went over the Long Bridge, and I fell in love. So we ended up back in 2011 making this our home and establishing our business here, and immediately feeling at home. I immediately fell in love with our community. It reminded me a lot of the small town that I grew up in, which was McMinnville, Oregon, kind of a farming community. Beautiful historic downtown that I worked in, too. And I just knew that I wanted to be a part of it. So as life always does, friends connected me to the museum. At that time,
when you were already in town.
I'm in town, okay. Yep. And I've been here for a few years, and I started doing kind of antique vintage shows. I had a space at Foster's, dabbling in the antique world here. And I was doing a lot of vintage clothing, and that's how my connection came to the museum. Olivia Luther, who was the executive director at the time, called me through a friend. And she just wanted me to start with she said, I have this amazing textile collection. I don't have time to work with it. Would you be interested? And then it started from there. And I'll just kind of fast forward. I was the curator for 7 years. And then I had the opportunity to be the executive director for a couple of years. And it was the most beautiful experience being a part of the museum. I love it. I'm a volunteer today. They do so many amazing things there. And I loved connecting to the community and understanding the community through that lens of history. So that's kind of the backstory.
Sure. That's a good backstory. It sounds like it's kind of been a logical progression, really.
It has. Yeah. I always feel like the universe kind of guides me and introduces opportunities to me when the timing's right. And I feel very blessed with that. And I've also, I've been able to have two beautiful boys. My second child just turned a year 2 days ago. So I've been able to be me and grow as a professional, but have this amazing family too and live in this incredible place. So I feel like I have it all. Mm-hmm. You know, I have this amazing supportive husband who helps, you know, enrich me and supports me in my endeavors and my careers. And so when this opportunity came with the city, I just felt like that was the next step for me in terms of continuing my endeavors that I've been doing at the museum and really in of obviously in taking my knowledge of this community's history and my years on the Historic Preservation Commission. I served about 6 years and to continue to do that work. But also it was my opportunity to get to activate the designer in me and the artist in me and work with our amazing artists here and really be that connector that I love to be for our community. And I started on June 6th, so I'm pretty fresh.
So how'd that come about? Because this is a brand new position.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, I've been a part of many of the planning committees. I was a stakeholder when we were putting together the Arts, Culture, and Historic Preservation Master Plan. And I, as all of us in the community, understood there was going to be a new position that would be created to help implement the master plan. And so when that job posting came out, I thought, well, I'm going to throw my hat in and see what happens. And I do believe that all of the skill sets that I have through my life and my career were a good fit for what the implementation of this master plan is about.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great place to dig in. What is the master plan about?
That's a great question. That's my guiding force. So,
And that was several years in the making, I understand.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what's so neat about the city. It's such amazing work. The team is so incredible. I love being a part of it. And there's building blocks, as you can imagine, and there's steps and processes that you take. And so, I mean, we definitely, for so many years, have identified this community as a arts and culture and historic preservation hub. But how do we officially get there? And so there's a process that needed to happen. And so there was a firm that was hired to come and come and understand our community and essentially put together the master plan, which was the Lakota Group. And they worked in depth with all of the major stakeholders. So that would be any major like nonprofit organization, business that has to do with arts, culture, and historic preservation. They did so many community surveys and really just put their feelers out there to truly understand the history of this community through art, through historic preservation and culture, and identify what the needs are of the community and then come up with action plans. So if anybody is interested, we absolutely can distribute that arts and culture master plan to anybody that I know at one time it's up on the website. We'll definitely be getting it back up, but it is a beautiful document, which makes, you know, my job great because there's identifiables of public art projects that need to be done, historic preservation needs that need to be activated, relationships that we need to establish and enrich. So I feel like I won the jackpot.
Mm-hmm. Because you have this in place as you take the position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing that did change, there previously was an arts commission and there was a separate history or historic preservation mm-hmm. commission, and those basically were combined.
That's correct.
Was that recommended by the master plan?
That's like chapter 1.1.
Okay.
So It was kind of interesting because, you know, those traditionally were two separate entities. But we actually, we started working together, the two commissions, on particular projects. An example of that would be the STCU wrap boxes, the utility box wraps. And we found out that, hey, like, we really enjoy working together. This is really sustainable. A lot of communities are combining their arts and historic preservation commissions. I feel like the more people that can collaborate, the greater work that you can achieve. And it was also recommended in the adopted plan. And so that's what we did. And then a new arts, culture, and historic preservation was appointed. And I had our first meeting on the 26th. And we are an amazing group. And I'm so excited that our community has these incredible advisors to help us.
How big is that commission? How many?
Nine people? Members. Okay. And it's a full committee, which was exciting on the first day. And we also have a tribal representative from Mike Lithgow. He's the cultural outreach representative for the Kalispell tribe, too. Yeah.
And he's based in Newport, is it?
Yeah, up in Washington.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he is joining us through Zoom, but he's actually coming down here quite often, understanding our community and figuring out how the Native voice can be told here.
Yeah, because it kind of got lost. And this was the homeland of the Kalispell tribe.
Well, they did a lot of travel through here. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's really fun. I really understand a lot of the oral histories from the first settlers in the area that were the first white people, particularly like the Markham family and Laclede. And it's really fun to see their relationship between the Salish and how that looked. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to, you know, bring that all to life. And the waterways, the canoe, the sturgeon nose canoe is really important to the tribe. And they are still doing celebratory canoe passage, you know, rides. I think that there's one coming up, in fact.
Yeah, they've for the last few years, they've done one that... they've done a paddle from where the Clark Fork River comes in, I think, all the way down to their reservation there, or close to it. I don't know if they get around the dam.
Yeah, and I think there's actually one happening this weekend. It was put on my radar. And they're doing their first powwow in 2 years because of COVID up in Washington this weekend.
Is that this weekend? Okay.
Yes.
At the reservation?
That's correct.
Yeah.
In Esk, yep.
A powwow is a really cool thing for people to check out. So you could probably get more information about that on the Kalispell tribe website. Okay, so let's talk first about the history side of this whole thing. What are some of the challenges that Sandpoint faces in preserving our history here?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's been top of mind for a lot of people as we're experiencing extreme growth. The other thing, and I mean, I'm particularly talking about the elephant downtown. And what we also need to understand is that when developers are putting out product and information, they're getting the community excited. But that sketch or rendering doesn't always truly represent like what that building is actually going to look like due to our policies and everything like that.
And we're talking about the new building that would specifically go up at the corner of Bridge Street.
And everybody's coming up to me and asking me what I can do from a historical preservation standpoint. And what I can tell you is that we have in the master plan adopted and identified the fact that we will be looking at historic preservation standards, policies, all of those things to make sure that we can sustain the historic character of our community. And so know that that is a priority for the city. We are aware. But the city is doing a lot of things, as you can imagine. We have a comprehensive plan and we have all these other things that we've been slated for. So as much as we all want to immediately say, hey, we have to protect and do something about historic properties to make sure there's not too much of a dramatic change that can happen, that's not something that can happen overnight. But we are aware and we have gosh, the plan has been in place for 2 years ago. But the area that we live in Idaho doesn't, in terms of historic preservation, we have our historic district here on the National Registry. But to be completely transparent, that is a recommendation to individuals that have businesses and that own those properties of suggestions of how to restore your building. It's nothing where it's preventing them from being able to do what they would like with their historic building. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people appreciate that, you know? And so I always come from the place of how can we make everybody happy, which is naive, but how can everybody win? You know, and so know that I'm always trying to understand everybody's point of view and appreciate everybody's point of view and do what I can to, you know, make sure that the community is heard and that the plan is implemented.
So, you know, the case in point here at Bridge Street, you know, some of the comments I've heard is that the renderings as they're currently shown for the building, you know, show a contemporary design that really isn't in character with the historic nature of the town. Mm-hmm. Is there any way for you and your position or the new commission to influence design criteria mm-hmm. on projects like that?
Well, I when the timing is appropriate, being the representative of arts, culture, and historic preservation, I will be meeting with developers and helping them understand the history of their building or location in that particular mm-hmm. aspect, and also the importance and character of that downtown area or our community at large. And, you know, so I'll be doing everything that I can to make sure that they fully understand and appreciate, you know, what we are about mm-hmm. and what is in, again, going back to my role is to always implement the master plan. And that document is very detailed. And I think that our community would really, whoever hasn't read it lately, I think it would behoove them to read that document because it will put them at ease. Mm-hmm. And it is a 5 to 10 year plan, though. We have to really appreciate that as well.
Mm-hmm. And the new commission meets monthly?
We meet monthly, and they are advisors to City Council because they all have a special wheelhouse that they work out of. So it's comprised of artists, historians, business owners, architects. Mm-hmm. It's a really strong group that will help council, you know, who really is the end and be all there, understand the full aspect of those three areas.
Mm-hmm. So sticking with the history for a bit here, we have some really terrific historic buildings here in town.
Yes, we do.
You think about the Panda.
We're in one.
Yeah, this building here where we're broadcasting from, the Farman building, where McDuff's is now, the old former federal building. Is there an inventory of like buildings that have a real historic character?
Yes, there is. Again, going back to that master plan, it's really comprehensive. It's identified buildings that are currently on the registry. There we have buildings that are individually registered. And then we have buildings, of course, in our historic district. But then we have an inventory of residential that are suggested to be slated for to be on the National Registry. But yeah, in fact, if you just Google Sandpoint Historic District, it will have a list of our historic buildings that have been identified. The other amazing resource would be the historic walking tour map that mm-hmm. the commission had put together, the Historic Preservation Commission and the museum. Mm-hmm. And that can be picked up at the museum and the Chamber of Commerce and the city. It is an amazing historic walking tour mm-hmm. Of downtown and residential that really goes in depth and talks about the history of our Beloved Buildings.
Yeah, it's a booklet, right? And mm-hmm. and you can take it and walk around and read about the different buildings here in town. And it's a great exercise for people that are either new to town or in town and have never done that before, because it gives you a real appreciation.
I'm constantly using it as like a historic research resource myself, you know, that mm-hmm. has been a part of the museum for years. Mm-hmm. So I highly recommend everyone picking that up.
So one cool thing that I know about that kind of bridges history and art is the former City Hall and Fire Station at Main and Second there is now the Music Conservatory.
Isn't but
they
that amazing?
They made a really cool discovery of the original bell that went on the top of that building, and they would ring it for a fire, right?
I was actually a part of that journey, and it's probably one of those moments that I will never forget and that really imprinted on me. I remember the first time that I truly walked into Karin's office and wanted to do some really great...
Karin Wedemeyer.
The executive director. I'm like, of course you all know who Karin is. I said, hey, wouldn't it be fun if we found the bell? And so we're like, yeah. So we ran a article with the Bee, who's such a great supporter. And lo and behold, in the museum that very next day, we had a Bob Camp come in and was like, I know where your bell is. And I called, and it was, of course, in a field in Spokane, and it belonged to a great antique dealer, Way Out West Antiques. And I ended up calling
That's the place. I-90 as you're headed east past.
Right? The bronze horses, the UFO.
A ton of stuff out there.
Yeah, that's the place.
Yeah.
And there was the bell, and we actually could see it from a Google aerial shot. And then I negotiated with the antique dealer. And there we go, activating my, picking antiquing skills. And Karin happened to be on her way to Costco with a blank check to buy toilet paper. And she ended up heading to Way Out West Antiques and then made the deal. Right.
Fortunately, she had that blank check, right?
Yeah. And board approval per phone. Yeah. And obviously, we had to verify it. So that's when the museum went into action. And it was a beautiful example of how important our museum is. Because our researchers went down the quote-unquote rabbit hole that I call it. And they were able to find the original bill of the sale of the bell, the transport warrant that talked about, how much it weighed, where it came from, and oral histories. So we were truly able to identify that indeed was our bell, and in how it got to Mark the antique dealer. And so it was a real exciting moment, and I think a truly beautiful example of how cool our community is and how we all work together. Mm-hmm. And that's an example of how arts, culture, and historic preservation in our community mm-hmm. is amazing and will continue to keep doing great things like that. So the music so the bell currently is at the museum on exhibit outside. And then the Music Conservatory.
It's a big bell,
it's a big bell, yeah.
Do you know how much it weighs?
Oh, gosh. At one time I did. I think 10 tons or something. Yeah. It's so scary big. It's cast. And the Music Conservatory, as we all probably are aware of, they're undergoing an amazing renovation of their building. And that the hope, long-term goal is to have the cupola rebuilt, engineered, and installed at the top of the building. It will once again ring again. And it's exciting. And you know what's so neat, Chris? We have the Panada right there in a historic building. We have the Music Conservatory Arts in a historic important building. We have POAC right there. We have the museum in the Panada's retail space with the Museum Guild helping educate our community about history. We have this amazing community of arts, culture, and historic preservation right there in our historic downtown, in historic Beloved Buildings, doing great work and working together. And so I just get really thrilled about that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I want to talk now about art side of your new position. But we're going to take a little musical break here. If you just tuned in, or I should say, if you've just clicked the streaming button on our website, because unfortunately our live broadcast is down. If you missed that announcement at the start of my show here, our antenna is being moved and it's taken us off the air. This came up somewhat unexpectedly, and we're having to deal with some FCC issues and so on. But the short story is we are off the air. We're not broadcasting over the radio airwaves, and we won't be for a couple more days probably until we can get a temporary solution in place. Meantime, you do have to listen to KRFY via our live stream, which you can do on our website, krfy.org, which if you're listening to this, that means that's what you're already doing. But pass that information along to your friends, please, and let them know. This is the KRFY Morning Show. I'm Chris Bessler, the host. I have with us today Heather Upton with the City of Sandpoint, Art and Historical Preservation Officer. And we're talking about her new position and what all that means here in the city. But we're going to take a short musical break here. And we're going to play a song that kind of melds a little bit of history to it, because I'm going to play Joni Mitchell's Both Sides Now. And if you caught her, it's all over YouTube and in the media. She had an aneurysm that has silenced her for many years. But at the Newport Music Festival just last week, she made an appearance and she sang this song. And it was extremely touching. Her voice has changed a lot. And we're going to listen to her, one of her original renditions here. But we thought we'd play that in honor of Joni Mitchell lighting our lives up for so long. So let's hear that. And then we'll be back in just a few minutes and continue our conversation with Heather. And that was Joni Mitchell playing Both Sides Now. And she just sang that song again at the Newport Music Festival. It was kind of a historic thing happening right there. And if you just tuned in, this is the KRFY Morning Show. I'm Chris Bessler, today's host, speaking with Heather Upton, the Art and Historical Preservation Officer for the City of Sandpoint. We've been talking about the historical preservation side of her new job, because this is a new position for the city. Let's talk about the art side of it. And I guess my question there, Heather, would be, so how does the master plan that you talked about earlier, you know, how does that help the city foster the arts here?
That's a great question. So it has definitely identified areas that we could continue to grow our public art program, that we could create signature events. I mean, similar, I feel like our community is doing amazing work already. So areas that we could build on the great work that's already being done, kind of those in-between things, and just creating that unique atmosphere and putting us on the map, essentially, as, you know, some of these other communities are. I think of like the San Antonio Riverwalk area, and we have like Sand Creek. It's so, where are those areas that can really be activated, where placemaking can be established, and you know, we can really create that character and beauty that Sandpoint's known for. So just really truly enriching the great work has been done.
So we do have a public art program, I guess you would say, called a program.
Absolutely.
For the city, because we have some neat public art that's mm-hmm. that's come along. There's the arch over Sand Creek. There's the sculpture at the roundabout at Schweitzer Cutoff. There's a number of places in town where the city's invested in public art. How big of a thing is that for a city that our size to have public art?
I think it's really impressive. I feel like as a community, we've focused on public art for a long time, but creating a master plan and creating a position just for arts, culture, and historic preservation, to me, shows that this is where the direction we want to go and focus on, and that, you know, it's very important to all of us. And And it's interesting because we do have a lot of public art. Looking at our public art inventory, it's really impressive. And to be honest, there are things that I just walked by that I had no idea that were part of the public art program. For instance, the swimmers coming out of the tree at City Hall, the bench, some of the benches we have, and the corkscrew in front of the winery. I mean, those are public art pieces.
Mm-hmm. And some of those are private, yeah, like the corkscrew, right? That wasn't
a
city
that's
one.
That's a public art piece, actually.
Oh, that is a public art piece. Okay, yeah.
But you're right. We do have public donation, private donations also, which are really important. So, one of my favorite synergetic moments is the fact that we have Farman Park with the Farman family. And then we have our amazing Farman artists that did all of those gorgeous sculptures that make so much sense to that particular place. Mm-hmm. So Tammy Farman, I have a lot of fun like seeing those connections. And as a curator or designer, I love it when all that really makes great sense. We also have a few other programs. And one of the things that's been really great in stimulating public art is SURA, which is the Sandpoint Urban
Renewal
Agency. Yeah. Yes. And so that has to do with funds from building projects. A certain amount goes to identified projects in two areas, which is downtown and the northern area, which is more of like the Boyer. Which you could probably elaborate even more on. And so that's been really helpful in creating money to be able to move forward and do these projects and create revitalization in these areas, which truly stems to a healthy economic culture, mm-hmm, too. So it's a full circle concept. Mm-hmm. But speaking of funds... Mm-hmm. I have some really exciting news that I want to share with you, okay, and our listeners. So this was something that happened before I came into my position. The city was able to secure an NEA grant, NEA ARP, so that's the National Endowment of Arts, through the American Rescue Plan with the government. And they secured, they were awarded a grant for $150,000. Part of those funds is for my position, and that doesn't mean I'm short-term. This is something that the city had identified and wanted for a long time before that grant, but that's how creative the city is being. Like, we use all different funding sources, but we have a $100,000 pass-through grant that I'm developing. The Commission Arts, Culture, and Historic Preservation, along with a group of community members, will be the advisory group that will be going to arts organizations in our community. And so I am so thrilled because that's a huge win.
Yeah, that's great for the art groups. Is there a specific criteria to apply for it?
There will be, and I will be launching the grant soon, mm-hmm, hopefully within the next 2 months. And when we talk about art, we need to think outside of like our traditional like scope of art of visual or performing, let's say. I think what you do at Keoki is art with graphic design.
That's my day job.
Yeah. Okay. This radio, I mean, like what, so it, that's truly the question is like, what is the definition of art? Mm-hmm. And I remember back as an art historian, it's that big question, like, what is art? And really what we need to understand is that the organizations are going to come to us and tell us what their art programming is. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to do is look at each. So they do have to be a 501c3 organization, bottom line, mm-hmm, okay? And then we're going to look at each organization, look at their budget, you know, look at the health of the organization, what they're looking to do, their goals and objectives. And then from there, decide what the best amount of funds would be for the greatest impact for them. And it's going to be a beautiful thing. And I'm so excited that we were able to get that funding. And the other crazy thing coming from a nonprofit is the fact that this is economic relief money. So this is from the negative effects that COVID had on the arts organizations. So that means that
It's for general operations, and very few times do you find grants that are for that. And that's the thing that all of us in the nonprofit world struggle with, because we have to be able to pay our employees and pay our overhead in order to do the great work that we do. And most grants are project-based. So, I'm very excited to be launching that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, folks, you may have heard it here first. There's some there's some grant money to support our art organizations that is going to be available here shortly. And speaking of our art organizations, we have some amazing groups here in town. And just kind of observing from the outside here, it really feels like we're kind of seeing a little renaissance with some of our, specifically for some of our performing arts.
Yes.
You know, the Panada is coming up on their century mark.
Yes.
You know, it was built in 1927, and they're launching a big plan to do a bunch of ambitious things there. Of course, the Music Conservatory is an amazing new resource in town.
Yes.
There's going to be a series of concerts now at the Heartwood Center as well.
Oh, that's exciting.
And then you have organizations that are not just based on a facility, but like the Lake Pondere Repertory Theater.
My son's in their summer camp, and they're doing such an amazing job.
Yeah. And, Pondere Arts Council, mm-hmm. of course, they have a big performing arts series that they put on each winter, and they're doing all kinds of ambitious things as well. I don't know. Does it feel like to you like the arts are just kind of, really happening right now?
I feel that way. I mean, we have a really powerful community of artists and art nonprofits. And that's the thing. I am trying to figure out, like, what are the needs and how can I support them in mm-hmm. those endeavors? And then I will be doing some programming on behalf of the city too, which is exciting. But again, like, never competing with the great work that they're doing. And this, the city, in terms of, this is kind of off to a side thing, but my division is under Parks and Rec. So when we think about Parks and Rec, we think about activewear activities, but really it's Parks, Rec, and Culture, right? So some of the Parks and Rec programming will be more centered towards arts and culture too. Mm-hmm. And where the city is, where we can really be a powerhouse for that, is we focus on helping people as beginners and kind of getting them in a comfortable place where they might be interested in something. And then if they really take to that, they can go to the next level and work, you know, with a powerhouse organization that really focuses on those things. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of an exciting time,
it's
I'm
exciting.
Sure, especially yes. for you in this new position with seeing all the kinds of things that you could be doing here. Heather Upton, again, our Art and Historical Preservation Officer for the city of Sandpoint. Anything else that you want to throw out there for people to ruminate upon?
I just want to, you know, really drive home that we are such a, I don't even need to say this, like, because you can look around and see it, but we are such a beautiful community full of amazing people. We have the most incredible natural resources. And so I am just so excited to be that connector and help continue to support and enrich the great work that our community is already doing, and keep putting us on the map in the best way. Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me, Chris.
Thanks, Heather. Well, thank you for coming in. And I want to say, folks, that is pretty much our show for today. I do want to mention again, in case you just tuned in, that KRFY is off the air. The radio waves are not treating us kindly right now. We had to take our antenna down due to a change in the tower location where it was located. And we're putting up a temporary low-power antenna here within the next couple of days, we hope. This all transpired kind of suddenly. But if you're listening to this, you know you can hear us on your over the internet via our website, KRFY.org. Please pass that word around to folks that we're on the air. I mean, we're broadcasting. We may not be on the air, but we're coming to you over the internet now. And we would we'd appreciate it if everybody would go listen to us via our live stream on our website. Go to KRFY.org, click on either of the black buttons in the right column you'll see there to listen to live streams. And with that, we're going to close out today with some music from some of the folks that are playing at the festival this year. We got some songs lined up from the Shook Twins and Gregory Alan Isakov, the Beach Boys, and Pink Martini. If we get that far in our playlist before we swing into the next hour, thanks for listening today and have a great week. Check out the festival. There's some really great music in town and there's a lot of other cool things happening. See that on our website, carefy.org. Go to community calendars. Have a good week, folks.